Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. I've got a great YouTube clip that I've converted to a MP3 format and uploaded for this podcast. And it's from Peter Kreft, Professor Peter Kreft, K-R-E-E-F-T. He is the philosophy professor at Boston University. He is going to argue for the existence of God from a good and evil perspective. It seems only fitting, based on our moral outrage for what Adam did, to draw to your attention, to remind you that our very moral outrage comes from, our very moral outrage comes from within our conscience that tells us that killing 5- and 6-year-olds is just not right. Now we want to ask that question. Why? Why? Where did this come from? Where did this come from? Why is it that once news of this issue spread quickly globally, that leaders from all over the world were calling to offer condolences and to express sympathy and to grieve with us as a nation? What is it within each of us that causes all of us to recognize that a 20-year-old taking an AR-15 into a elementary school and blasting his way through the hallways as though he's playing a first-person shooter game is a video game is just not right? Where did that come from? Why is it that when the President of the United States decides to participate in an interfaith vigil, when he participates in an interfaith vigil, why is it that he goes there and he begins, after thanking the governor and all the families and the first responders, why does he start his delivery with "Scripture tells us, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions," or troubles, is what he said, "are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Why did the president go to the Word of God if there is no God? Why was Scripture his first choice? And words of comfort came from there. The president went on to say, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal." Why did the president of the United States go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4? Why did he quote the author Paul? Why did he go to the apostles of Jesus Christ? Why did he go to the New Testament of the Christian faith if there is no God? Why was God mentioned? Why did he say, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands"? Why did he go on to quote and reference and draw our attention to the existence of God if there is no God? Why was that his first choice? Why did he talk about God's grace? This is how Newton will be remembered, and with time and God's grace, that love will see you through. Why did he make particular reference to, and even when we're trying to do the right thing, we know that much of our time will be spent groping through the darkness, so often unable to discern God's heavenly plans? For that moment in that interfaith vigil, our president was pastor-in-chief. He was comforter-in-chief. And he was drawing to the nation's attention the existence of God. And not just any God. Not just any God. The president went to the God of the Bible, more particularly the God of the New Testament. And even in more particular sense, he went to the apostle to the Gentiles, the servant to Jesus Christ, the son of the God of the Bible. He made particular reference to, and that's what should drive us forward in everything we do. For as long as God sees fit to keep us on this earth, let the little children come to me is what Jesus said, and do not hinder them is what the president quoted, making, again, reference to the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And then in the end, after naming the names of Charlotte and Daniel and Olivia and Josephine and Anna and Dylan and Madeline and Catherine, Chase, Jesse, James, Grace, Emily, Jack, Noah, Caroline, Jessica, Benjamin, Olivia, and Allison, he said, the president said, God has called them all home. May God bless and keep those we've lost in his heavenly place. May he grace those we still have with his holy comfort. This speech is just packed with an admonishment to God, to the existence of God, for the comfort of God. And all those sitting in that auditorium and all that heard the words and are still hearing the words as they are being replayed must recognize that God made them. And that the very moral outrage that they feel against this man, Adam, and the crime that he's perpetrated against an elementary school testifies to the existence of God. In just a moment, I'm going to let you listen to Professor Peter clearly make a strong, just 5 minutes. That's all I need is 5 minutes of your time. Stay with me for five more minutes and listen as the professor draws to our attention how the moral argument, the existence of good and evil, is a legitimate, foundational, apologetic for the existence of God. And not the God of the Bible, but clearly the existence of a God. And then I wanted to draw to your attention how the president was exceptionally particular in the God of the New Testament in his entire speech. There's nothing in what the president said that wasn't very particular toward Christianity. And I would want to commend the president for seeking wisdom from the only book that provides that wisdom, the Word of God, the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. Thanks for listening. Join me now in listening to Professor Kreeft, Peter Kreeft, K-R-E-E-F-T, as he argues for the existence of God from good and evil. Thanks for listening. Post your comments directly to this recording. Have a great day. Continue to join me in praying for those in Newtown, Connecticut. Our prayer must be that the gospel continues to be proclaimed and that God uses this senseless tragedy to draw men and women to himself in a salvific way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Post your comments directly to this podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
I'm going to argue for the existence of God from the premise that moral good and evil really exist. They are not simply a matter of personal taste. not merely substitutes for I like and I don't like. Before I begin, let's get one misunderstanding out of the way. My argument does not mean that atheists can't be moral. Of course, atheists can behave morally, just as theists can behave immorally. Let's start then with a question about good and evil. Where do good and evil come from? Atheists typically propose a few possibilities. Among these are evolution, reason, conscience, human nature, and utilitarianism. I will show you that none of these can be the ultimate source of morality. Why not from evolution? Because any supposed morality that is evolving can change. If it can change for the good or the bad, there must be a standard above these changes to judge them as good or bad. For most of human history, more powerful societies enslaved weaker societies and prospered. That's just the way it was, and no one questioned it. Now we condemn slavery. But based on a merely evolutionary model, that is, an ever-changing view of morality, who is to say that it won't be acceptable again one day? Slavery was once accepted, but it was not, therefore, acceptable. If you can't make that distinction between accepted and acceptable, you can't criticize slavery. And if you can make that distinction, you are admitting to objective morality. And what about reasoning? While reasoning is a powerful tool to help us discover and understand morality, it cannot be the source of morality. For example, criminals use reasoning to plan a murder without their reason telling them that murder is wrong. And was it reasoning or something higher than reasoning that led those Gentiles who risked their life to save Jews during the Holocaust? The answer is obvious. It was something higher than reasoning. Because risking one's life to save a stranger was a very unreasonable thing to do. Nor can conscience alone be the source of morality. Every person has his own conscience, and some people apparently have none. Heinrich Himmler, chief of the brutal Nazi SS, successfully appealed to his henchmen's consciences to help them do the right thing in murdering and torturing millions of Jews and others. How can you say your conscience is right and Himmler's is wrong if conscience alone is the source of morality? The answer is, you can't. Some people say human nature is the ultimate source of morality. But human nature can lead us to do all sorts of reprehensible things. In fact, human nature is the reason we need morality. Our human nature leads some of us to do real evil, and leads all of us to be selfish, unkind, petty, and egocentric. I doubt you would want to live in a world where human nature was given free rein. Utilitarianism is the claim that what is morally right is determined by whatever creates the greatest happiness for the greatest number. But to return to our slavery example, if 90% of the people would get great benefit from enslaving the other 10%, would that make slavery right? According to utilitarianism, it would. We've seen where morality can't come from. Now let's see where it does come from. What are moral laws? Unlike the laws of physics or the laws of mathematics, which tell us what is, the laws of morality tell us what ought to be. But like physical laws, they direct and order something. And that something is right human behavior. But since morality doesn't exist physically, there are no moral or immoral atoms or cells or genes, its cause has to be something that exists apart from the physical world. That thing must therefore be above nature or supernatural. The very existence of morality proves the existence of something beyond nature and beyond man. Just as a design suggests a designer, moral commands suggest a moral commander. Moral laws must come from a moral lawgiver. Well, that sounds pretty much like what we know as God. So the consequence of this argument is that whenever you appeal to morality, you are appealing to God, whether you know it or not. You're talking about something religious, even if you think you're an atheist. I'm Peter Kraft, professor of philosophy at Boston College, for Prager University.